Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. And on today's episode, I am interviewing none other than Julian Kwan. Julian is the true definition of a serial entrepreneur. He has founded over 7 different companies, and that's why I think today's episode is a must listen for any tech startup founder, especially if you're building something in the blockchain or crypto space. Because Julian is currently the co-founder of InvestaX and iX Swap. So what is InvestaX? InvestaX is a SaaS platform dedicated to tokenization, while iX Swap offers diverse private market investment opportunities via security tokens. And in this captivating chat, we cover the tangible problems that iXSwap and InvestaX aim to tackle. We also talk about how does venture capital interact with tokenization and what is its future. We also talk about what strategies Web3 companies can take to navigate regulatory waters and prevent their token from being termed as a security. We also talk about what happened in during 2017 and 18 with the ICO frenzy and so much more. So if you are aiming to get a grasp on tokenization and how it is going to be one of the multi-trillion dollar opportunity in future, then this episode is for you. Nothing mentioned in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Finally, I don't run ads on my podcast. It would mean a lot if you can please leave a review for this podcast on any platform that you're listening on, and please share this episode on your social media. With that out of the way, let's get into it. So, Julian, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here on the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. And looking forward to learning more about iXSwap and InvestaX. So for some of the audience who doesn't know InvestaX and iXSwap, can you please share a bit about those platforms?
Sure. Hi, Sam. And hi, everyone in the community. It's great to be here. Just down close to Auckland last week, 2 weeks ago at the Digital Asset Conference Week in Sydney.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I met a couple of good companies in from New Zealand who have done really well. So yeah, my name's Julian. I'm a co-founder and CEO of two platforms. We originally from Sydney, spent 13 years in China doing different types of startups, advertising, boutique hotels, real estate developments, co-working, a couple of real estate funds, Southeast Asia. Moved to Singapore nearly 9-10 years ago, wanted to get into the online investment space and started off InvestaX is the first real estate crowdfunding platform, which started as Investor Crowd, actually. Got a couple of licenses and did a whole bunch of deals. We were taking portions of mezz debt, preferred equity, common equity, and real estate deals in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, London, New York, etc.
Yes.
We realized that first generation of online investment platforms had a really low tech stack behind the platforms. People were just signing up pieces of paper. And I consider it like a 0 to 0.2 value proposition. So still good. People were investing around the world. They were doing it online. They were getting into deals they'd never get into on their own because they didn't have that kind of capital. But then we looked at the ICO boom and immediately built a thesis that we should wrap real world assets and these things called security tokens using the same tech, using smart contracts and blockchain. And in a world of digital currencies, you're going to see a world of digital securities, and then they're all going to come together and we're going to have this whole explosion of new investment products and DeFi power and making all these illiquid assets usable, multi-dimensional, with lending, borrowing, staking. And it's going to be the place to play. And in that sort of, and the journey was like, okay, stitch up all the licenses together so it can make a one-stop shop so anyone can tokenize whatever they want on our platform in a legal, compliant, technical, gambled way. And that's been the journey. InvestaX is the leading tokenization services and software platform. So we have an actual, just a monthly subscription fee where real estate, private equity, venture startups, anyone, any investment manager per se can have a co-branded section of the platform and a very low monthly subscription to get started. So we're trying to get as many groups into the space as possible in a low cost, efficient, co-branded way, which we're really excited by. It's getting a lot of traction from different types of clients. And then in the thematic of kind of security tokens, asset-backed tokens, real-world tokens, tokenized securities, lots of different words over the years. And there's a few different types. But anyway, long story short, there was a lot of talk about liquidity for liquid assets as the only value proposition, but there hasn't been any liquidity. So what we did about 2 years ago is we looked at the cryptocurrency space, 2017. And what I mean is we looked at the trading of assets. So you had, it's just to make extreme examples, it wasn't exactly like this, but you had 10 of the biggest coins on Coinbase and Binance. They had lots of liquidity. They had millions of dollars to pay listing fees. They had market makers, et cetera, et cetera. Life was good. That's why, because everyone traded on the centralized exchanges because there was no liquidity on the decentralized exchanges. On the decentralized exchanges, which are basically listing board swap platforms, they're not really exchanges. They're not exchanges in the traditional sense. There's no order books and matching engines. There's just someone buying, someone selling. There's one price. That's the that's been the DEX model. The DEX has had zero, not to say zero, they had very little liquidity. And that was because there was no market making solution until all the smart cookies at Uniswap came along and said, we've got this idea. Let's create a system where through smart contracts, anyone with two altcoins could start a liquidity pool. And that would mean that anyone who had those tokens could join those liquidity pools. We would then share the fees between the token providers and the platform. So basically crowdsourced market making. And now we have liquidity behind this decentralized exchange. And then you saw the volumes and trading went galactic and I think Uniswap. Uniswap today still is, in my mind, the top three DeFi.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
And so what we did, we thought, could we build the Uniswap for security tokens? It would look and feel the same on purpose as a UX UI because it's a beautiful UX UI. But Uniswap can't list security tokens because it would be illegal. There's no custodian. There's no broker-dealer. So we embarked on a mission and we successfully built the world's first automated market maker for security tokens, allowing anyone with a security token to start a liquidity pool. So that is what iXSwap is behind the smart contracts. That blockchain is plugged into an STO broker and STO custodian. So there's a legal pool and a legal trade. So iXSwap's, I think, is the killer application for the security token world. It's a world first. So I guess the listeners probably haven't heard about it. But the innovation is that just Uniswap gave the ability to any cryptocurrency, big, small, beautiful, ugly, whatever, to start a liquidity pool on their own without a third party kind of person needed, a market maker and all these fees. We built that system. So anyone with $10,000 minimum, which is very small in the securities world, can start a liquidity pool and breathe life into that liquidity of the asset. And where it goes from there, the market will decide and we see how it goes. But that's powerful because I think if you believe in a world of tokenization, which we do, I think you do as well.
I am 100%.
You have millions of security tokens, right?
Yeah.
Every startup, every real estate fund, every private equity fund, every venture. So first of all, there's going to be way too many to fit into a centralized security token exchange. And a centralized security token exchange, which exists, InvestorX has one of the world's first licenses for it. That model, for the audience to understand, is a model like NASDAQ or Coinbase. It's a model where there's order books and matching engines, and there's market makers there that have a business inside that exchange making these markets. You can see all the different prices. That's a centralized security token exchange, except the assets will be security tokens and not paper shares or whatever it was in the past.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make is that when you think of millions of security tokens, only a very small percentage will get on the centralized exchange. They've got to have the right characteristics. It's got to be big enough. They've got to be X, Y, Z. So market makers from that traditional world would make those markets. But for 99.9% of other security tokens, your startup, my real estate fund, that VC funds, they're all going to want trading, but they're all going to sit on the listing boards of broker dealers, which is good. Better than the old world of paper where you own real estate shares and I own a startup shares and they're both in our drawer and that's the end of it. Nothing happens.
Yes.
We now have a tokenized format. We're on a platform. You can see it. You can trade it. But in that world, before iXSwap, that is the world. It's just 100,000 security tokens, $10. Wait for a buyer. Now with iXWAR, iXWAR was built for that whole world, which we think is the super majority of security tokens. And now all those listings can start a liquidity pool of their own and breathe life, put it into their assets. So that's a lot to take in for everyone. That's what we're about. And we're super pro public architecture, which I'd like to make a point of, because all the digital assets in the world that matter are issued on public protocols. That's the power of Bitcoin, Ethereum, NFT, DAO, stable coins, shit coins, alt coins, all kinds of coins. They don't belong on a private chain. And if they do, no one cares. So we were strategically against the wind at the time, years ago, now becoming more obvious, and that issuing these securities on public protocols is what everyone should be doing, because you can then connect to the power of decentralized finance and liquidity pools and AMM models like iXSwap and all this stuff. A lot of security token platforms have gone and built their own private chains because whatever, they're thinking very TradFi, they're thinking old school. They think it was easier to get licenses because it's a database you can just delete and it's better than the old version of databases. But if you're not connected to that protocol, then there's nothing going on. So therefore, it's a closed system. It's very Web2. And you haven't really done more. You've done the 0 to 0.2 value proposition. You haven't done the 0 to 1, which we believe firmly sits in the security tokens on the public protocols. That's what we've been up to.
Fantastic. So many questions. I've been taking notes as you've been speaking. So let's take an example of a startup, because a lot of founders listen to this. Can they use any of this platform to use it for tokenization and use it for fundraising?
Yeah, so it's a good question. The answer is yes. iXSwap actually has its own licenses now. It started just as a tech platform, but now it has its own licenses, including retail investor access, which we're just launching now, shares secondaries of startups in tokenized format, like tokenizing SPVs that own a part of for all investors, except USA investors and predominantly. If you think about, it's a great question, and thanks for asking it, because it's something we've been very focused on. If you think about startups, especially Web3 startups, which I'm sure most of your audience is.
Yes, they're mostly that, yes.
Yeah. So in the Web3 world, there's a false narrative that many people have bought into, that a Web3 project launches a utility token and all the value sits in the token. That's complete BS. Why? Because all these venture capitalists are sitting on the equity cap table, right?
Yes.
Why they're sitting there if all the value is in the tokens? So there's a false narrative that 100% of the value of a protocol exists in the tokens, and therefore if you own the token and you're part of the community, you're sharing in all the wealth. Now, you're definitely sharing in the value wealth growth if it grows and you're a holder of utility tokens. Hmm. But where's all the equity gone, right? It's gone to the tradition. It's gone to the same guys, right?
Yeah.
It's Andreessen Horowitz and Sequoia
and all the guys, all
those guys. And not only that, but they take the equity. They all get into the private sales and the seed sales of the token rounds way before. 100%.
I was going to say that.
Way before everyone else gets.
Because they have a side letter as a VC. A side letter and you can get a location of the token equivalent to the amount of the stake in the company and all that.
And the strategy is very simple. It's take a piece of equity, which typically in a startup, you might wait 10, 15 years to exit or fail. Yes. That's typical. Or take that and get a whole chunk of tokens you can dump on the retail investors as soon as it goes public. Yes. Get your money back, free ride. Anyway, I'm just stating facts. That's what happens. So why are we talking about this? Because security tokens now, so there's a new, I think it's a paradigm shift here, right? If you tokenize your equity rounds early on and you share that with your community, you're giving true ownership to your community, not this false part ownership of the utility token. You give people security tokens, which are equity tokens in a startup, and they can also buy utility tokens, or if they buy the security token, which is harder to sell than the utility token because the security token is not going to pump and dump as crazy as the ICO does. But then you're really building true ownership. So the best way I think about this is to, and I wrote a piece on this on the InvestorX website. In the old world, you raise a if you're doing any startup, but specifically Web3,
yes,
do you want $1 million from Andreessen Horowitz, or do you want $1 million from 1 million users that would start using your platform, for argument's sake? They all bought one STO for $1. We've just done a deal where we allow people to buy one USDT worth of equity, like $1. Yes. So my point is, you'd obviously want 1 million users, because money's great, but strategic money is much better. And having users, 1 million users overnight versus one user, probably not. A16Z, super successful, not saying anything negative about them. They're probably not even going to use your protocol, right? They're 1 million users. So my point is, you now have a way to truly democratize the ownership, truly give real ownership to the users, and I think a much stronger platform to build a successful protocol, platform, business, whatever you're building. And it's now possible. The reason why people didn't want 1 million shareholders before is basically paperwork. It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense.
Compliance now costs would kill you.
That's right.
In the old
school. And if you know anything about crypto, we can issue 1 million. Yeah, if you have a platform and you had 1 million people KYC AML, you can essentially, very low cost, send out 1 million security tokens to 1 million wallets. So this is now possible. So this is powerful. So yes, they can use it. We're looking at launching more and more startups. It's best to do this straight away, as early as possible, as being a successful founder. The rounds get very complicated in startups, right? Because everyone wants more. They want this. They want a side letter. I want to name my kid Sam. I want 4 extra points of liquidity or equity.
Yes.
All this.
They
all
want
this
preparation rights.
Preparation
more
this,
in the next
all this,
thing.
All this,
in the next
all
round
this,
and all that
all
stuff.
That,
yeah,
all
yeah.
That stuff. So it's better to start early. It doesn't mean you can't do it later on. But then there's all these approval processes and all this kind of stuff. That being said, there's a ton of people who are tokenizing SPVs, special purpose vehicles, that have been set up specifically to buy chunks of startups, typically later stage where it makes more sense. And tokenizing those shares is totally possible as well. But yeah, so the answer is yeah, we'd love to anyone to reach out to us who's looking to raise in a seed round or around then. Mm-hmm. Who believes in the technology, got excited by what we just said. And yeah, I truly think that the new paradigm of fundraising for startups is security tokens that also then connect to the utility token, the NFTs, the DAOs, whatever other tokens that are in the ecosystem. You can tie that back then to anyone who's staking security tokens of your company. So we've been trying to get this done for about 5 years in terms of all access with a dollar. Like, we've finally been able to do it. It's been super painful, but now it's starting to grow. So yeah, we'd be welcome everyone to say, and this is really on the iXswap side on the launch pad. So you can say, everyone can go to the website, click on this. It's KYC. Very simple. You don't have to have any accredit. There's no accreditation requirements. You don't have to show us how much money you do or don't have, and everyone's allowed in, predominantly besides 1 or 2 countries. But yeah, we'd love to have more people join. And again, I said investing. Typically, new technology, those that invest early get the asymmetrical returns. Now you have the opportunity, if you're listening to this, to be one of the first security token investors in the world to be able to do that with one USDC and to have 0 accreditation requirements around you other than basic KYC. We need to know who you are. Anyone who sells equity needs to know who you are, passport, etc. But no sophisticated accreditation. There's nothing about being your network does not matter. And that is amazing because that's what something we've been working on for years is how do you bring the same elements of cryptocurrency in terms of anyone can buy to equity companies, which typically, again, was the VCs or the high net worth or the family office. So we're at a stage now where we've made it.
I have many questions. I'm waiting to ask you more and more questions because the other profile of the listeners of this podcast, apart from the early stage founder, is the VCs and the investors because they are looking for alpha, and I interview a lot of founders. So this question applies to them as well, that what if, because VCs raise in like fund 1, fund 2, all that, like they raise multiple times. They raise from, who do they raise from? They raise from LPs, endowment offices, family offices, private equity, all those. So they are always doing fundraising as well. So can they also take benefit of your platform and raise a fund as a
VC? 100%. Yeah, 100%.
And then they go and invest in a traditional Web2 way in startups as equity.
Yeah, so that look, yeah. The answer is yes. How does it work? So I should have said before, I actually forgot, by no means like dissing the VC world. We wouldn't have nearly every great tech company in the world if we didn't have VC investors in the world. So they've served and continue to serve a really important point, basically taking high risk kind of bets.
Yeah.
However, in the last example I gave about like the distribution of equity, you still want professional, sophisticated investors leading these rounds. Who's doing the due diligence? Who's negotiating the terms? Who's setting up the structures? Who's managing the structures? So it's not, so they're all required. I think the balance will just change from 100% VC to whatever, 90, 80, 70, 50, 10. It'll start to grow a lot more with community ownership, like real ownership, security tokens. From a VC perspective, yeah. VC investing, kind of macro statements, a lot of VC funds don't make any money. The typical tenor is 14 years, even though they sell them at 7 years and we'll try and sell as much as possible. But the reality is 14, 15 years.
Yes.
14, 15 years is probably half the age of most of these listeners or more. Same amount of time, right? It's a super, super illiquid asset. And there's issues with that, which I'm not going to get into, but that's holistically, that's the simple problem, right? So what does a tokenized VC fund do? So we're looking at using token structures, security token structures, to create better investment vehicles. So if you think actually about the history of public markets, all the significant expansion of capital was when new technology married the marketplace. So the best example around this is the ETF, right? The ETF, the first ETF, I think in 1979, raised about $6 million. They actually thought it was a failure. Everyone went, ooh, this doesn't work. $7-8 trillion industry now, just because of that new type of structure. So what we've got now is we're looking at VC and private equity. And we're basically looking at what I consider to be broken fund structures that everyone uses, like 100% of the market. Why is it broken? VC less private equity, real estate, best example, like the super majority private equity real estate funds are 7-year life funds, right? Real estate cyclical. So a big percentage of them are guaranteed to be forced to sell in the next downturn. And everyone loses money. But why is it 7 years? Because that's just what the industry came up with. Can't take money forever. Need a few years to buy and build stuff. Can't go too long. Seven. If you think about us, if you think about USA as an example, USA commercial real estate, a global financial crisis, 2009, 10, 11 market bottomed out. But so everyone who was in a 2001, 2, 3, 4 vintage commercial real estate fund was forced to liquidate when the whole market was underwater and everyone lost money because that was what was agreed 7 years ago. Failure. Same thing happened again with COVID. The commercial real estate market tanked and is tanking now like never before, at least specifically around the US market. Anyone who invested 7 years ago and 6 years ago or 7, 8, 9 years ago, because this has already been a problem for 2 or 3 years, they've all lost all their money. And the managers of not only the investors lose the money, the managers get 0% of the upside, which they all claim to be why they're in it, right? Small management fee, you can argue that all day long. Management fee plus 20% upside. Upside, no upside. 7, 8 years of your life, no upside, just on a salary, which is not why these guys do this. So my point is that structure is completely flawed. VC fund as well. Who wants to invest into a fund and wait 14 years? I don't think anyone does. Oh, that's the nature of it. So how's it work with VCs? VCs should be using security tokens to create better versions of VC fund. We call it VC 2.0. Better for the manager, better for the investors, some form of tradability, some form of liquidity, potentially connects to token warrants and other types of tokens now in all of these kind of startups. It's much more interactive. And from on our platforms, we're actually looking for more VC partners who want to specifically join the platforms, bring their portfolio of companies that they're raising money for. So for argument's sake, I'll just give you an example. let's just say you have a whatever you see early stage VC, you put $100,000 into each deal. This is just an example, made up number. You never want to be the whole check. You always want to support your startups to get more money. The money has to come from somewhere. Yeah. And so typically the money comes from somewhere else, but they don't make any money out of that, right? Because they're not, it's not in their fund. It's like, I invest 100 grand and I call my friend Sam and the other VCs and they invest. Great. Startup gets 200 grand and that's great. But I just did a lot of work and for my own investment. Now the VCs can come and say, put 100 grand in here. I'm going to put 100 grand tokenized special purpose vehicle alongside, raise from all these users that become community real users of this platform. So it's really helping the company with actual users. And then I can charge them a little manager fee because I've put this together anyway, and the company gets a $200,000. So it's like win-win all the way. So that's how VC,
I can clearly see a use case for this. It would be great for syndicates, yes, angel syndicates and stuff.
That's right.
Because I've been thinking of starting a syndicate. And so this is, I can really see that this would be an awesome tool to use.
Yeah, so you hit the nail on the head. Look at angelist syndicates, right? Like lead investor, high raise money, get a bit of a share. Everyone invests in the startup, start for 15 years, right? So now we do the same thing, but it's like everyone invests, but they could trade in and out. They can also access other elements of the platforms by holding these security tokens. We bring a lot more users, not just a few, because we're now talking about bringing shares into $1 increments, which is amazing. No one was doing $1 investments on AngelList. Like, it just don't make any sense. And I know the guys running Republic, who are a spinoff or connect very heavily connected. They're 100% focused on what we're talking about right now anyway. So they do get it. But like, the point is,
minimum is 1,000 on AngelList. I think one of the syndicates, 1,000 to 25,000 is their preferred. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we're doing $1.
Yeah.
$1, which is amazing. Anyway, so yeah, so VCs should be all over this. They're coming, starting to get it. And that's just to raise money for the startups. And to your point, what about their next fund? Yeah, 100%. Like, launch a tokenized fund, make it tradable. Doesn't guarantee any liquidity. But if Sam's doing a VC fund and he's investing in the best startups in Singapore, and Julian's doing a VC fund and he's investing in the best startups, and with apples to apples, pretty similar, and you want people's money for 14 years, I want people's money for 14 years, but they could sell in 12 months if they wanted to and they had a buyer, where's the money going to flow? Same, way better. So the VCs should be all over this. It's been interesting for that space because in blockchain, as you would know, there's a lot of VCs that's a guy with an Ethereum in his wallet, claims to be his VCs, doesn't have a clue how to even set up a fund. So there's a lot of craziness out there. There are real VCs in the traditional structure. A lot of them have talked a massive game, but just wanted the pump and dump of the ICOs, although some of them are also equity investors. So it's a big mishmash of activity. All the TradFi, the leading traditional fund, TradFi VCs have now already, and some of them a long time ago, started in the blockchain space, whether they did a new fund, whether they put some money in, whether they did a token fund, a liquid fund, whatever, but they're all now moving in space. So then it's just a matter of, it's just been a matter of time, and it's 2023. People should understand that the security token industry is only 5 years old. In 2017-18, it was born because people like us, there weren't a lot of us back in the day. Very few people laughed us out of cryptocurrency events and said security tokens are stupid and we just want crypto. And I said, so equity is stupid? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, all right, that was some of my conversations. But my point is that in 2018, we had a very difficult birth. We had failed ICOs being called security tokens because they looked and felt like securities, but they were done illegally. So they had the SEC in America chasing ICOs saying those are illegal and people saying STOs are illegal. And I was like, no, ICOs launched like STOs illegally are illegal. Securities can't be illegal. If you don't issue or trade something properly, it could be illegal, but you can't say like a share of a company is illegal. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, a lot of confusion, right? So at the same time, you had all these horrible STOs coming out, like real security tokens in terms of real, as in a company, a share, a platform. Just absolute crap. Can we sell these horrible assets to stupid people in crypto? That was the thinking for years. Very painful. And then you only had 2018 to 20, you had only the token issuance companies. So you had these groups that sold the dream of security tokens, liquidity for liquid assets, global investor base, new investment, blah, 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 exchanges. But we just didn't technology. Okay, where do I get all this stuff? They're like, I don't know. So you had this 2-year period where these tech guys were milking the system, confusing everyone, trying to charge hundreds of thousands of dollars to tokenize someone's assets to send it nowhere. That happened. A lot of them went bust. Most of them went bust. There's still a few floating around. It's a model that kind of makes sense if for a big financial institution. So if you've got buyers and got assets, you don't care about the rest of the world. You use a token issuance company to tokenize and turn your system. Fine. That's great. Doesn't, no interest for all of us, right? So the next evolution, 2020 to 22, was security token exchanges started coming out.
Yeah.
What is that? That's what it is. It's an exchange, a centralized exchange with a license to trade security tokens. Problem was, a lot of them did their private chain, built on their own private chains, which again, zero value to, in my perspective, to most of the world. They also often didn't focus on the primary fundraising. They just wanted funded assets. And they had all these protocol issues and they were just sitting around and it was very expensive. So there was no liquidity, it was very expensive, and it was a closed system and it's a new marketplace. So it's chicken and egg buildup. They're valuable infrastructure for the market that needs time to build up. And then now, today, 23, there's at least us in particular, we've built a model. It's very low cost, a couple thousand bucks a month. Investment managers can tokenize on our platform. And we build a market maker as well. And there's other two platforms around the world that we know of that we work with. But that, my point is, it's taken us 5.5 years collectively to get all the licenses, right? And that's what a lot of people have suffered. Yeah, they've suffered. Anyone who went got licenses suffered pain. The ones that were successful have spent years getting it. So the reason why we're having this conversation now and why everything's changed is because there's actually platforms now where you can legally issue, trade, and custodize security tokens. So therefore, much higher quality institutions, companies, private equity, you're issuing security tokens because now you can do it. And they're not worried that it's illegal or it doesn't work or it's halfway or there's only half a system. Whatever the issues were for the last 5 years, they've all now been solved. It's work in progress because we're tokenizing the whole private markets, which is 6, 8, 10 times bigger than the public market. So we're talking about probably the biggest opportunity in finance in the history of the world. And it's massive, right? But yeah, but it's exciting and there's a lot more going on right now and it's much more exciting than it ever was before.
Absolutely. I can immediately see that why it's, if you're a family office, you would want the VC to set up the fund in a platform like iXSwap or something like that, because then you don't have the liquidity, but you have an out. You don't have to wait for 14 years. After a year, you have another family office who wants to buy your stake in this VC fund that's getting a lot of name and hype around it, and you can exit. So imagine if people could exit from VC funds in 2021, if they'd invested in 2019, they would have gotten such a big return. But of course, they couldn't exit. And now a lot of those Web3 companies or any of them, they're not the same valuation as they are now.
Oh, yeah. And people like to focus on valuation. But I think what's missing, what's more important is the ability to liquidate. So I think anyone, yourself included, probably has, anyone who's of a certain age, has a bunch of investments that are completely illiquid. And you'd take a 90% discount to get out. Some of them you would. My point is that, but there's no system for it. And none of the founders, none of the companies generally allow for it. Their business is not secondary trading. Their business is trying to run their business. So when you invested, there was no promise of secondary trading. They never said they'd sell. So it's not just why doesn't this work? The world's against us. That was never the system. It was you're buying into this company. And if there's an exit, you get paid. Up until then, sit and wait. So I think that valuations are valuations, right? Most, at least in startup world, it's all made up. It's made up every day. It's made up on NASDAQ. Valuations, everything's just made up every day. So that'll continue to be made up, like tokens or not. But with tokenization, or I can get it, I can move this, I can get out of this, I could lend on it, I could borrow on it. It's just so much more valuable, so much more interesting. Our vision was always, if you open up your phone now, you either, say for argument's sake, Binance or Interactive Brokers, You see all your assets and you can move them very quickly and you can push a few buttons. Why wouldn't we want to do that with our shares of startups and real estate and all this other stuff? And the answer is we would. We just never had that system before. And the end of game is going to be a couple of platforms, a Coinbase and one of our investors, but Coinbase will start opening up all these security tokens. All the DeFi guys will push into security tokens because it's a whole new world of bigger assets than crypto, actually. And then all the banks, the TradFi guys, they're launching cryptocurrency exchanges. DBS Bank in Singapore did it a year and a half ago. Standard Chartered is about to do it. All the TradFi guys are going to launch DeFi assets, and all the DeFi guys are going to launch TradFi assets that will come as security tokens. And then we have this huge convergence. Yeah, everyone should get started ASAP and work it out and set up a wallet and pass KYC and buy something and send it to nowhere and do all the things you do when you start to get it. And you make all those mistakes at a really early stage, little amounts, and get ready. So we're going to, the last thing I wanted to add on was like, one of the things we're super excited about, startup using of security tokens is, what was super exciting about initial coin offerings, right? It was basically, forgetting the part that there wasn't equity ownership, right? Forget that for a minute. But focusing on the actual token, the token sale, it's basically getting a startup that takes 10 years to go from seed round to IPO and doing it all in 3 months.
Yes.
Seed round, private sale, public sale, launch, exchange, DEX, another exchange, and everyone's going crazy. And we launched our own token, IXS token, which everyone shipped probably by someone, but that was an insane experience. But the point is that it's exciting. And so what we want to do, what we are doing, I should say, with these security tokens, especially for the seed round guys, the people that are doing security tokens for seed rounds of their startups, is build something similar. Right? It doesn't have to be exactly the same, but build the seed round, the private sales, the public sales, and build that hype up. Because if you think about it, like, why, if an ICO backed by nothing but fairy dust can go 100x and back down to 10x, and then something builds, and then there's value there in whatever it is. And half the coins out there have zero logical value, but they have value because you can see it, right? There you can see it, see the value. There's people buying and selling. That's value. What happens? So why, in our minds, why can't security tokens for startups do that? Go up, bump up, go crazy, trade all over the place. You've seen it in the Wall Street bets guys, right? Pumping and dumping like NASDAQ stocks, right? There is an element of craziness to it. If it's a fair market, people argue that all day, but our purpose is like, how do we bring security tokens to the startup world? How do you build greater communities? How can it be a bit more fun? And how can you take what has worked, right? It has worked. You could argue it has worked. This ICO format has worked, right? Enough people buying, enough people believing, enough people thinking whatever made up price is the price. If a company is actually selling equity and it's doing that as well, but you know there's actual real value there, even if it goes up 100x and comes down again, there's real value there, right? As a company, if the company is doing the right thing. So that's what I'm excited by. And I think we were going to see some really interesting stuff start happening.
It was a crazy time, the 2017-18. And I know a lot of VCs were in fact scared at that time that, my goodness, like the startups don't need us anymore. They can just go to the ICO market, do an ICO and raise $200 million. And what's the point of us? And then they started pumping money into the ICOs. That's why the ICOs started to go like parabolic or exponential in their value and stuff.
Yep.
It was a crazy time, but it got a lot of people interested into this whole crypto. There was no term Web3 back in those days. No one called it that in 2017-18.
That's true. It wasn't even a thing.
Exploring. It is so fast. And this space is just, it never stops. Whereas in the world of AI and stuff, nothing happens for a very long time and then lots of things happen suddenly and come out. But in this space, every day there's new things. It's like you guys never stopped working. You guys kept innovating and building things. Talking about what is one of your biggest challenges at the moment?
Probably the biggest challenge is just the mindset, the mindset of the human beings. We're building better products. There's a lot of stuff that's the same. There's a lot of stuff that's not the same. Convincing people that it's like a bit like people, even 4 or 5 years ago, Bitcoin, 2017, it was getting some traction and people like, oh my God, whatever. It's like people forget that it launched in 2008 and for a very long time, no one cared. It was almost 10 years. So the security token space, we've been at it for 5 years, and in brackets, no one cared up until this year. And people are still like, well, why it's still early? Like, why isn't there more? Why isn't there more? So what have you done in this space? Nothing. Invest money, launch a project, invest in a startup, buy a security token. It's really just mindset, inertia. The biggest challenge is really there's still a lot of people trying to, it's becoming better and better each day, maturation around the difference between security tokens and cryptocurrency. That was a huge problem over the last couple of years. Like people are like, ICO, STO, it's all the same. Or are you doing Bitcoin, real estate? And it's like, what the hell is that? Like all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it's time. And as you said, the space is fast paced and moving. So it is hard to keep up for those in the industry. And for those coming into the industry, they're going to try to work out where to start. So we're very heavy on education. We do blogs, we do webinars, we do courses. We have the iXSwap Academy that's available all free online for everyone. You can just go and check out, and we try to share as much information, teach a course to all these people here about security tokens, bankers, and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so look, I think there's no one major challenge that's bigger than the rest. I think there's been hundreds of different challenges, but I think all the inertia and momentum is positive, and we're just scratching the surface. I said this years ago, which is quite funny that it's happening. Like I said, maybe security tokens will save ICOs, right? And why did I say that? Because back in 2017, it was all just a complete shit show, right?
Yes.
One out of 100 projects made any sense. People didn't care because everyone was trying to pump and then dump. So even the VCs who talked the big game about, I love this team and I love this project, it was all bullshit. But so what the point is that they launched, I was saying utility tokens are being challenged by some regulators that they're actually security. If you actually launch a security token, and this is to the startup founders, if you launch a real security token on our platform, you could then launch your utility token. And why I mean it would save it is because it's very hard then for someone to argue your utility token is a security token. If you actually have a security token, it's a different token over there that does something completely different.
Yeah.
And so now it's starting to
thought about that.
Yeah. So I was saying that for a long time. I used to get laughed about all my crypto friends. It's true. Like security tokens have the ability to say, if you really think all this stuff's security, how can it be? My equity token's there. And this is a utility token and it plays around and does this and it does that, but it doesn't do any of that. That guy gets a dollar of my equity and he gets nothing. He just gets whatever the token price is. Have you not created the best possible argument to any regulator that's cracking down on your project that you've got a security and it's been issued illegally, whatever? Because you're like, no, I issued a security token here legally, compliantly. These guys have licenses and tech. Tick that box. What's the next question? So here we are. I think it's coming to fruition, and that's great because we love the whole space. We have our own.
I'm just token, thinking that I have like stake in a few different startups, and I would have loved to. I would even now. I'd love to trade that, but it's.
Bring them to the platform. We'll see if we can tokenize some of those shares and see if anyone else
but
is
it's,
interested.
It's already raised funding through like a venture round and stuff, so it's already complicated. And as you say, it helps to be early. These are not early anymore, but I'll recommend some of them who are not that later in stage. But I can see the value that this platform would provide. Quick question. Yeah. Are there any companies or startups that should not or cannot list on your platform? Like they are like a Delaware C Corp or like a lot of startups are. Is there anything like that?
The only things that can't go on the platform are sanctioned countries. We do global product for global investors, and we're agnostic to the asset class and we're agnostic to the vehicle, as long as it's legal and compliant and the guys behind it pass KYC AML.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So that's fantastic. So I think that's all of my questions, apart from you want people to check out your platform. Is there any other ask you have? If you're raising funding, if you're, hiring, anything, feel free to share.
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we are actually doing a round because we've just received a whole bunch of new licenses to grow out some new revenue streams and a whole bunch of new products. Yeah, we've got a blockchain VC and two of the biggest Singapore families involved. There is some space allocation left into that. So, yeah, some people are going to reach out. Probably most exciting, if you're an accredited investor, a sophisticated investor, everyone should sign up to iXSwap Launchpad. We'll make sure those links are in the notes. That's where you can invest for a dollar in exciting new startups. And then anyone who's an accredited investor can register on the InvestX platform. Those assets are more I'm going to say more traditional, but yeah, like real estate funds and private equity funds, ESG thematic. So, but you have to be accredited for the under the Singapore, the rules.
Okay, so under Singapore, not. So if I'm an accredited investor in New Zealand or Australia, so
you have to meet the Singapore standard, yeah. Well, they're pretty similar. I don't know the New Zealand one exactly off the top of my heart, but yeah, pretty similar.
Yeah, New Zealand and Australia are very similar generally between those two countries. Yeah, so look, that is fantastic. I'll put all the links to all your platforms underneath and your social
stuff
underneath as well. And thank you so much for your time and for this enlightening conversation.
Yeah, thanks for everyone. Thanks for the introduction and enjoying the conversation.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.